everyone. It's Dr. Brian Hutchison, aka the Global Career Guy, back with you for another episode of Behind the Science of Career Development podcast. Of course, a reminder that we are the podcast of the Asia Pacific Career Development Association and the Asia Pacific Career Development Journal, which I am the editor of. The goal of this podcast, if you're a new listener, is to really bring in new and exciting voices that are at the very edge of career development work around the world so that we can learn from one another's practice, celebrate one another's success, and just get to meet some interesting new people. Speaking of interesting new people, I'm very excited today to be with my friend and colleague, Praveen Parameshwar, who I met, I think, for the first time in Beijing, China, if memory serves me correctly, at an APCDA conference. As usual, I'm going to ask Praveen if you would introduce yourself, however it is you like to talk about yourself, and welcome.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much for inviting me to be part of this podcast, and thank you very much for the opportunity to get introduced. So as Brian said, I'm Praveen Parameshwar, so working with Lifeology. So I carry and my education was in law and later on in management, and I work in consulting for around 10 years. I was working with companies in almost every vertical, like in IT, in manufacturing, in education, in banking, and was trying to fix their HR problems. I was either coaching their leaders or trying to fix up their HR strategies or developing learning and development programs for these companies. So during the entire course, I could find out that, you know, Brian, it's like, you know, even though I'm invited for various reasons, so the one problem which all these guys try to or ask me to fix is my people are not working well. And I could identify why these people are not working well. It's simply because they are right people, but at the wrong places. So after a decade of experience in consulting, so wanted to do something specific to get the right people to the right places. And that's where we started Lifeology. And then we thought where to start with. And we think we will start from schools. So currently, I lead the company Lifeology, working with schools around the world and helping the right children to reach the right places. And it's a great opportunity to work closely with Brian, talk to you all now, and introduce what we say now to the world through the podcast.
And as my listeners know, I get so excited on this podcast. I have about 1,000 things that I want to ask you, Praveen. But I think where I want to start today is, and I've never asked this on the podcast before, I want to capture that moment where you made the leap, from being a consultant, from working more on the human resources side, to choosing to become really a, what I would call a career development entrepreneur and starting Lifeology. If you could focus on the very personal aspect of that first, what was that transition like for you?
Sure, of course. So I think I will tell you a bit about the history part. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, in 2003, I was kind of 17 years, in 2017 or 18. In 2003, we coined the term Lifeology. Mm-hmm. So we means me and a couple of friends. And we were thinking like, you know, there is psychology to learn about mind, there is biology, there is something should be to study the life as a whole. Mm-hmm. So we coined the word Lifeology in 2003. But even though afterwards we have done multiple human resource development programs, we were not using that word as a title for any of the programs. Mm-hmm. Because we really wanted to reserve the word for something big, something influential, something impactful in the life of people. So every time since 2003, I personally wanted to do something very impactful in the life of people. So this is always there at the back of my mind. And a decade of my time, it's from 2008 to 2018. So over 10 years when I was working as a consultant. So I was not happy in the, okay, of course I was happy, mm-hmm. but I was not feeling that, you know, aha moment where I was not feeling that bliss or kind of a purpose in what I really do. I really wanted to do something bigger and bigger. So I was not using Lifeology, the title, at any point of time. But you know what happened? So during my close work with the corporates, some of these people asked the strategies or tools or techniques which I use for corporate consultation to support their children. So I started doing the same as a part of my passion, as a part of my, not a revenue-making mechanism, of course, but it was either as a passion or as like, you know, it's an opportunity to get connected with your clients in a better way. It's like the CEO of a company, which is your client, asking to support his daughter or son to choose a career or plan education or plan and skill development. It's like you are making a personal relationship with that person. So honestly, I started doing the same to foster a relationship with my clients and also as a passion. But on the go, I could feel that I'm getting more and more passionate about it. And I'm seeing that it's changing the life of people. So with a couple of people, we could see that. Even students who, you know, I live mostly in India and the Middle East. So what happens is, like, people in this part of the world, they're always curious to get into, I mean, they only have a couple of ways in front, either to get into medicine or to get into engineering or chartered accountancy or law or to the max, they may think about become like, you know, into movies. That's it. Mm-hmm. So this is what they exactly want to do. So I could have a couple of clients, I mean, the children of my clients, who really, the father and mother, they were pushing these kids to be into medicine. But after our counts, our assessment, consultation, counseling, coaching, so they entire family changed their mind. And one of this child is graduated from Manchester University and now in psychology and trying to work in an international project as a psychologist. But she was kind of pushed to be a doctor during those days. Mm. But later on, after our intervention, so a lot of changes happened. And she's from the northern part of India. Then what I started thinking is, like, you know, what I'm doing now with children, with their career, with their life, is something which is making impact in their life. Mm. Something which is adding purpose to their life, meaning to their life. So then I started thinking, why can't we take the word lifeology, give it a soul and make it as a big program, which is in fact providing, showing the way for people to move forward. So that is the moment, you know, that is the moment which I started thinking about making Lifeology as a company. Mm-hmm. And the co-founder of Lifeology is Rahul. So Rahul is an integral part of APCDA, I know. Mm-hmm. So Rahul was with me when we founded Lifeology together. And he was the one who was very instrumental in using assessment, using device, you know, developing the coaching mechanisms. Yep. And he was also doing the same with our, because the first company also we built together. Mm-hmm. So the experience we went through is same. So in 2018, we decided, we will frame it as a company, give it the title Lifeology, and take it to children, and we will change their life. So this is exactly where we started.
Excellent. So the first thing we're learning here is that you're better probably at naming and branding than me, because in that same time span, I was developing the first course in my credential, which I call Uncenter Work to Recenter Life. Yes. And of course, Lifeology is just a much better name brand than something as long as that. So when I think of this concept, and when I've thought about this concept over the years, I see it as like two inputs, right? So one is that your career impacts your identity and impacts your life development in a very meaningful way. So you called it soul, you called it meaning making. It's all sort of the existential concerns.
Yeah.
But then the other side of that is that your career also structures your lifestyle, as Donald Super would say, right? It determines where you live. Your income determines where your kids go to school based on where you live and things like that. And so there's this wholeness to it regardless. I think what we've done a lot in the field is that we think about everything, but career is the center point. And so we can talk about career affecting your mental health. We can talk about career affecting your lifestyle. What I think you're saying is similar to what I've been trying to find is, what if we centered life and then career was sort of revolving around that, because that's the most important aspect.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, we firmly believe and we take it as a concept in Lifeology, because, like, you know, so if a person lives in this world, imagine, so assume that person lives in this world for 80 years, which is, I'm just taking 80 years more than the average life expectancy in the world. So let's take 80 years in the world. So 1/3 of the life, the person is obviously spending in career. So every day, 8 hours in career means 1/3 of the life we're spending in career. When I say career, it includes school studies, then college studies, and now working. And nowadays, the world is moving towards a place where retirement is not a matter of concern at all. Even post-retirement jobs are there as a consultant or as a coach or a mentor. So 1/3 of the life we obviously spent in career. So what happens over there? The happiness in the entire life is totally connected with the happiness we enjoy during this 1/3 of the life, because the rest of the 2/3, we would be spending half of that in sleeping.
Right.
And if we are having a bad time at office, obviously it is too tough to have good time back at home.
Yep.
So the happiness. Second, I always say to people, like, you know, so 90% of the people who we know, other than our close relatives and friends, we know them based on what they do in their career. Politicians or sports stars or film stars or professionals, we know them totally based on what they do in their career, their identity in the world. And third, their financial security, as you rightly said, is totally depends on career. So what we firmly believe is lifeology is there, the life is there, and career is a core, as you rightly said, which is deciding our identity, happiness, passion, purpose, meaning, everything in life. Yeah. So we are working on a notion, whereas many times people believe career is a means of life. Mm-hmm. But lifeology is trying to say that it is no, career is life.
Yeah.
That's where your identity, your happiness, your wealth, everything is there. Mm. So career is not a means of life. Career is life, a very integral part.
Yeah. And I think if we think about the psychology of this now, if career is the center, then our psychology builds defense mechanisms. So it makes us less adaptable. It makes us less able to change without great psychological hardship. But if life is the center, right, we're living yeah. life regardless. And so yeah. when we have to adapt with our career, when we have to look at the chaotic world of work yeah. and have so much uncertainty, it makes us more mentally flexible or more mentally nimble to have an adaptive career mindset, because career is not the one thing we're hanging our hat on, as we say in the United States. It's our life. And then career, just like relationships, just like hobbies, career is something that moves around the life that we are living, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You're right. Just one point to add on to that. It's like, you know, lifeology firmly believes and popularized the idea. So you may not always be getting into the career of your passion. Mm-hmm. Everybody may not be getting into the career of their passion or their interest or their or the career which they really want to get into. But you should, your mind should be flexible and ready and adaptive, as you rightly said, to work backwards. Once you get into a career, you should start loving the same. So it's a both ways. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if your initial career or you're making a career decision, I'm thinking of like Bluestein's psychology of working for yeah, survival. Yeah. We're not in that stuck mindset of, well, I have this career and it's the end point. We're in a more adaptive yeah. mindset of, well, I have this career because it serves a purpose, but it yeah. can be a purpose yeah. on a yeah. pathway to something else.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that makes me a huge fan of lifeology and of you and your work is that you've decided to center it initially on children, which I think is so important, because the mindsets that we create, the adaptability that we create yeah. in our youth yeah. follows us into adulthood.
Absolutely.
But of course, when we work with children, and I'd like to tackle parents first. Of course, when we work with children, it's the ideas and the ideology of their parents about career that can have a great influence on the work that you get to do. So I wonder, like, if I were a parent and had a child that was attending one of the schools in Dubai or Qatar or India that you work with, and I was hesitant, I was like, what is this lifeology thing? I don't understand. How would you talk to a parent about the work that you would want to do with their child?
That's a very, very important question, because I was going through a study by the University of Derby, a very important study. So which could find that, you know, in the UK, 76% of children turn to parents when they're taking very important decisions related to career. So if it is 76% in the UK, that would be more in this part of the world. So I firmly believe, so like, parents have heavy impact in the way children decide career. That's why, so what we have done now is, so with our application, so what we do now, it's like, you know, we set up digital guidance centers inside the schools. Mm-hmm. So we train the school counselor to use our digital guidance center. And then every student and parent get access to this digital guidance center through a mobile application. So there is a parent endeavor. And we tune our 100% of the content for parents also. It's like example. So if there is an article related to career, so how to choose the best career, the article also talks about how to help your child to choose the best career. Mm-hmm. So because we firmly believe if you're not addressing the parent population, so it's so tough to get the people aligned to the right decisions and lead them forward because of two reasons. Number one, emotionally, parents are, you know, so impactful in the decisions. Second, economically, because for a school student, so they are the payers. So even though the student is a subscriber of higher education, so the payers are parents. So we firmly believe parents have an impact and role in this game. So what we do now is every conversation we do, we are getting parents also as a part. So we have a parent application as well for InMobile. so that, like, you know, the parent will also get access to these schools. To give a practical case study, it's like we work with schools here. For an example, we do work with a school called New Millennium in, New Millennium under the GEMS Education GEMS Education Group in the UAE. So with the school in coming 18th, November 18th, so we are addressing the entire parents of the school about how to help your children to choose the right career. Back in India, a school in Delhi called GD Goenka School, so November 13th, so we are addressing the parents about how to help your children to build the right careers by setting up, by choosing the courses, setting up their mind and enhancing their skill for the new world. So the parent assemblies, we are focusing a lot and encouraging schools to set up the parent assemblies in addition to the student assemblies. We believe it is so important. And now what we do there, just to say in three lines. Number one, we ask the parent to think beyond their current fixed mindset. Number two, we also sensitize the parents about their possible biases, a stereotype bias for medical studies and against fashion technology, yep, for engineering, against designs. So, like, you know, we're sensitizing them about the biases. And number three, we're also introducing various opportunities in front of parents and say that how you should help and encourage your children to move forward. This is what we do with parents now.
And I think what you're doing there is avoiding the biggest mistake I think I see programmatic career practitioners make. We've known this since Carl Rogers' work in the 1960s, is that if your goal is to help someone change their beliefs, their thoughts, or their behaviors, they have to trust you, right? You know, the core conditions of building trust is so important. And what I see so often is career practitioners that are running programs, they get parent consent, I can do things with your child, and then it's over unless the parent asks a question. And as soon as you take away transparency, you erode trust. As soon as you give transparency in response to a query, trust isn't gained as much. And so if a parent comes to you and says, I have some questions about this program, and your response can be, I'm sorry, you've had access to all of this information from the very beginning and all of these opportunities, you're showing trust, you're showing good faith that earns parents' trust. So I think that's probably, if it's intentional or not, the most important aspect of any program in working with child and adolescent career development, because we need the trust of the people that have control and influence. That's a perfect way that you're doing that. If I can transition to the kids then, what's a typical age level or grade level that a child might start to begin to interact with Lifeology?
We are trying to focus on children from 7th grade onwards to 12th grade. So that's a sheer focus we have. But from school to school, it differs. It's like, you know, some schools are interested to expose children to career and similar kind of guidance only maybe from the 9th grade and up.
Yeah.
But some schools are early adopters. They're ready to start from 7. May not be an assessment, but to introduce various careers, talk to people from various career tracks, and those kind of things they are interested to do. And I have a very interesting case study to share, not a case study, but an experience. It's like, you know, I'm in Dubai now. I was having discussion with the Abu Dhabi Indian School here. So this is one of the largest schools in the region, which hosts around more than 8,000 students. So they really wanted to make guidance as a part of their curriculum. They want to spare 1 hour every week exclusively to introduce various careers to children. So I'm closely working with them to start from 7th grade onwards, introducing various careers to children. So 7th and 8th grade, when they reach 9th grade, they will get introduced to more than 200 careers by spending 1 hour a week. So, like, you know, when they are into 9 and 10, they can choose about the right 11th grade specialization, because by the time they would be exposed to all the careers. So we want to start from 7. Some schools we are doing the same, but some schools from 9, 10 kind of.
Yeah. And again, the research on that is pretty clear that if we start in those earlier ages, we get more positive outcomes. I find that metaphor is always important when like research doesn't speak to everyone. And so I often use the metaphor of, you know, prepared soil grows so much better plants than unprepared soil. And so 7th and 8th grade and even younger can really be seen as preparing the soil within which they're going to grow a career identity, because we can teach skills, we can raise awareness. So yeah, and that's the reality of the world, right? The people that we're talking to usually have to make practical decisions, maybe financially practical, maybe within the structure of a school. And so it's super easy to default to less, to, because well, let's start in ninth grade, let's start in 10th grade.
Yeah. Because a very important point over there, what I could find is like, so many times, the career decisions are happening within a limited information bias.
Correct.
If we go to the unconscious biases, we mostly take career decisions based on the limited information bias. Mm-hmm. So the parents may be saying that we are giving every liberty for my child to choose their own career. That's absolutely fine. But the child is trying to choose from 1, 2, 3 or maximum 5 options when there are hundreds of options.
Yeah.
So what is a career practitioner or a career entrepreneur or lifeologist? So we also coined the term lifeologist.
Yep.
So all of our coaches are titled as lifeologist.
Love it.
So what we are doing now as a lifeologist is like, so we are trying to trash this limited information bias. So we believe the first stage of any sort of career development is introducing children to maximum available tracks. Okay, it has its own negatives. And the negative is like, you know, the more you are exposing the children, so the more they get confused. So if you ask them to choose from 5, easy. If you ask them to choose from 50, tough. And if you ask them to choose from 100, it is tougher.
Right.
So we understand that negative is there. But still what we are trying to do is during their 7th or 8th grade, we're exposing them to maximum career options.
Yep.
Then we are asking them to reduce it to some number. And by their 10 or 11, they can take up an assessment and go for a sheer focus about their career.
Yep.
So this limited information bias is a villain which we are trying to overcome.
Yep. Yeah. I think this is an important last question to end on, because I think that there's a second type of bias as well. And we know that it begins forming before 7th and 8th grade oftentimes, which is prestige bias. And we know that culturally prestige bias, I mean, you're from India. We know that there's a heavy prestige bias around career in India and also in the other countries that you're working in. So I would love to hear your mindset as you also work with children and parents around career prestige bias as well.
Which is very important. Very important, I say, in India. So let's say 5 careers: medicine, engineering, law, chartered accountancy, and to the maximum, maybe something with the movie or cricket. So all these careers have its own prestige. So if I understand the prestige bias right.
Yep.
But in this part of the world where I'm in Middle East, so I was having discussion with one of the schools here, and their simple need is, Praveen, I don't want you to lead children to the right career. What I just want is let them think beyond military and government service.
Yep.
That's it. If you're just letting them think beyond this through any of your intervention, that's absolutely fine. Because these two careers in this part of the world is kind of highly prestigious. But out of that, they're not even ready to think about anything away from that.
Yeah.
So now I think that's a two-way effect we need. One, through lifeology or similar kind of programs, we need to set up the mind in children. Of course, I understand the bias is there. We need to set up the mind in children that, you know, more than the title of the career, the impact you make in the work matters a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're just going to sustain in this world as a great professional. That is one. Second, the branding is a very important word. It may be because I'm from the management background as well. Mm-hmm. So the branding is a very important word. So what I want to do is like, you know, every industry associations should brand their various job roles in a greater way.
Mm-hmm.
See, what is artificial intelligence? So if artificial intelligence is called as computer science, or if the big data analysis is called as statistics, which is its base, with the base of the data analysis lies in statistics, the base of AI lies in computer science, the base of robotics lies in mechanical engineering or electrical engineering. But when it is called as robotics, or when it is called as data analysis, when it is called as AI, so the careers are getting branded, and the conclaves, conferences, university programs, everything is branding these careers. In the similar way, I believe, see, let's take example of design. What an UI UX designer is doing? Design. But nobody wants to be a graphic designer. Everybody wants to be a UI designer or a UX designer. The same. So if one side, we are helping children to crash the prestige bias and think about the impact they make. On the other side, industry should also intervene to brand their careers and job roles. So if these two things go hand in hand, we'll get into a world in less time, whereas the prestige bias is trashed down and children are ready to think in an open play.
Yeah, and I think the only addition that I would add to that is something like what the International Labor Organization is doing with DECENT, you know, the DECENT Work Initiative as well, which is there is a reality in the bias too, in prestige bias. There are jobs that aren't good for people, but every society needs those jobs. You know, we've seen examples in the last 20 years of societies that doesn't have anyone with repair skills, that doesn't have anyone to clean streets. And so, you know, I think it's a three-dimensional leveling, and that you're hitting on
to add it. I have one point to add on to this. So I firmly believe in another half a decade or maximum one decade, so many of the jobs which are not so prestigious will surely be taken over by the machines. It's like example, let's take the example of street cleaning. Let's take the example of loading. Let's take the example of carrying heavy vehicles or heavy metals. So what I'm looking forward is many of the jobs which prestige is not getting attached are very tough for people to find the happiness or purpose. We cannot, even though theoretically we can say that, we cannot always convince a person who is sweeping the street to be happy in what they do. We can say that you are doing the same to make the beauty of the city, the face of the city beautiful. They're doing a great job. We can say, but that person who is getting struggled to sweep the street, we can convince them to be happy. But I firmly believe many of these jobs will be automated and taken over by machines very soon, so that, like, you know, it would be easy for the career practitioners to address the prestige bias, because that put the third dimension will be addressed by the machines to a large extent. We call it as job loss, but inevitable.
And for me, I think there's a couple of yes ands there. I think that that is true. And we know that there are times when jobs that have low prestige now had more prestige. For example, my grandfather was a stonemason and could make a living and take care of his family as the only person working as a stonemason 50, 60 years ago. And of course, that's not possible in most countries. That's not seen as decent work today. And I would say that there are some jobs that are indecent, that are low prestige jobs, that will be around long after your job and my job has been taken over by machine learning and artificial intelligence, like caregiving. You know, as we look at, I know India is a very young society compared to maybe the United States, but, you know, we're looking at needing people to do caregiving work at a higher and higher level over time. And right now, that is a very low wage, low stability, low prestige job. So again, there's so much desire in the world for experts like you and I to give one answer. And it's never one thing, right? It's always movable parts, three dimensions, four dimensions that are influencing complex phenomena. But, and I would say, and I think you would agree, some of the most important phenomena to help people live their best life in this modern world that we're currently living in.
Absolutely. I do agree. 100%.
So last question, maybe your 60-second commercial, but where do you want Lifeology to go into the future?
Oh, thank you very much for the question. So what I'm trying to do is, like, in 3 years' time, so we want to set up digital guidance centers in 25,000 schools and ensure that every student in these 25,000 schools are getting access to the right, accurate, and the most authentic guidance to get into the right places in the world. So even though we started only by helping students in terms of helping them to choose the right career, so now we are making guidance more comprehensive and holistic by including emotional well-being into the same. So our skill development into the same, education into the same. And also recently we started including physical fitness into the same. So in 3 years' time, we want to make the guidance centers in the schools, 25,000 schools to the minimum, fully digitalized, extremely comprehensive, addressing all these areas, whereas children and parents get access to, so that I can say that I make an impact in this world by setting up these digital centers and 25,000 schools, and these children are moving forward in the right senses. That's what we do. That's what I really wanted to do.
Yes. Well, folks, I don't have any follow-up to that. What you are hearing is Praveen Parameshwar. What he is talking about is his global company, Lifeology. And I would guess what you are hearing is a big part of the future of our profession of career development. So Praveen, thank you so much for the time today. And I can't wait to learn more from you in the future.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be invited to this podcast. And all the listeners, thank you very much. And I hope you got what exactly we are doing. And I'm inviting you all to help us, join hands with us in this mission. And let's try to make this world a better place to live by leading the right guys to the right world. Thank you.